Well, good morning to each of you. Ask for your prayers this morning. The Lord would bless His word. I'd like to leave a prayer request for you all beyond that. I'd like for us as a congregation to pray that the Lord would help us to know how to do a better job of reaching people around us. That'd be okay? How about also praying together that the Lord help us to know how to perhaps be knit together a little bit better in love in our congregation, that the Lord would feel. I'm not saying it's, but I think there's always room for improvement. That we can feel together and be unified. I'm just saying it just feels that we might get to know each other a little bit better. It seems like we can come Sunday morning service and enjoy being here together, and we get this routine and we go back home and we're all little separate lives from here to there. But I think the Lord would have us to be a little bit more connected with each other and be in a way that the world can see something special over here. I would also like it to be that the world can see that the Lord's working over there and want to be a part of that. And so part of this is going to be us also asking the Lord, how would you like us to conduct ourselves in the future here in this congregation? I think that we have something that we have to offer to the Lord, to the world. And sometimes there's real needs out there that the Lord has something to address those needs with. Maybe sometimes it's just, when I was growing up, they had something they called cottage prayer meetings. You ever heard of those? To her house on Monday night. So she's already been praying about this. Little things like that. And sometimes in those cottage prayer meetings, That's one of the things up there in the northeast part of Oklahoma. That's the reason why there's a congregation up there. They started having cottage prayer meetings. Grandma would go around and get to knowing some people and say, "Would you mind us? Let's have a little prayer meeting and have some Bible study." And they had it from house to house, home to home. And there was many people in that community responded. I think that can still be done. And ask the Lord, Lord, help us to know how to reach out and touch people around us a little better. Another thing that I believe, and we don't have to do it like I'm just making suggestions, but I'd like for the Lord to lead us in this matter. It's okay. Shouldn't we be seeking the Lord? Lord, how can we do this better? I think it's a good thing. Lord, help us know how to do this better, more effectively in the world around us. One of the things that my grandmother, I'm not saying she did everything right, but I think this one was a good one. A small congregation, it wasn't big, but we had a number there. Wednesday night wasn't always just testimony service. That was, a lot of times there was a space given for testimonies, but one of the things she began to do, she said, "I want every one of us to come up with a subject for Bible study." Got clear down to the children, younger children like this. And she said, "Now, if you don't feel like you can do that, if those children can't, said, Mom and Daddy can help you." You know, she would talk to the children and say, if you have a hard time, ask Mom and Daddy, they'll help you. So she kind of volunteered parents to be involved in that too. It's a good thing. Didn't have to have a full Bible study. I want to tell you that some of you may be a little fearful right now thinking about, we want to call on your name and say, "Why don't you have a Bible study for next Wednesday night?" You may say, "Oh, no, not me." "Oh, it's okay. You'll learn." And we'll help you. We'll work together in this. I'm not saying that's what we're going to do, but I'm just saying it's not a bad thing. All right. What I'm really saying, let's pray about asking the Lord to help us to know how to work together for the Lord and be more effective in His service. I have something I would like to write on the board. I believe what I've written up there is speaking the truth in love. Last Sunday afternoon, I just want to say I really thank the Lord for what the Lord gave Brother Marvin to share with us. I offered him to, since they were going to be moving, I said, Brother Marvin, if you have anything special or feel like the Lord's giving you something, I want you to feel free. And I have to say I did push him just a little bit. I said, but I'm not going to tell you. If the Lord's not inspiring, I don't want you to do it. But I really feel like the Lord inspired him last Sunday. It was good. And about being purposeful. Meaning to do it. You know, if you're going to purpose to do something, you don't just fall into it. You have thought and preparation. And you mean to get it done. You get it accomplished. And there was so much that he had to share that I thought was very good. Then in the afternoon, we talked a little bit about be ye kind one to another. That has a lot of ramifications in our Christian conduct, our Christian life. And that's something too I'm wanting to talk about here today is in Christian conduct. And has speaking the truth in love, honesty is in part of it. Sorry. Honesty is in that. Honesty is very important. I think about honesty in life itself. I find that even in the world of people, if they're not even wanting to serve the Lord, in the realm of business, if you want to build a business that's going to last generationally, you better put honesty in the middle of it. Fair and honest, Brother Jerry says. If you don't do that, you won't have a business very long because the word gets around. They're going to say, they didn't treat me fair. They didn't treat me honest. Maybe they may not always like the way things turned out, but if you were fair and honest with them, they say, well, they were still fair. They were still honest with me. Honesty is a bedrock, is one of those foundational stones that we should have in our life all the way through. If we're not honest in our relationships, if we're not honest in our marriages, all the way through, honesty is very, very important. Now, I would like to read over here in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, where I'm going to take this text from. We had some of Ephesians 4 last Sunday. I'm going to go back there now. Ephesians 4, and I think we're going to start at the 15th verse, maybe 14th. We're going to start at the 14th. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Brother Paul here is describing situations that were back then in our humanity. He recognized that humans are susceptible to slick words, other things that's entering in and intrigues the mind. And he said, be careful. We don't want to be these no more like children that are tossed to and fro by the latest cunning things that are set out there around us. But be grounded. Be steadfast. We henceforth be no more as children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But he says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. I think there's quite a bit here. Let's stop here and think a little bit We consider the idea of our spiritual growth and spiritual conduct. I believe it all Christian conduct. I believe it all enters into this. We know that we're not going to grow very much spiritually if we don't carry, if we don't put within our character moral virtues and uphold those and count them worthy and valuable to have in our life. Honesty is definitely one of those. Also, love and caring for your fellow man is another one, isn't it? That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, love the Lord with everything you have, unreserved, unwilling to let other things be something that would divide my passion, divide my love. If it can't include God, don't have it. Turn it aside. That's a moral virtue. Saying, Lord, I love you more than these other things in life. Other things that would perhaps tell me it was all right to skirt too close to the world. You know what I'm... Do you know what I'm talking about? Skirting too close... Living too close to the world? Do you want me to tell you what that line is? I can tell you what the line is for me, but I want the Lord to tell you what that line is for you. And you can, and we can get that from the Lord. But you're not going to get that if we don't truly love the Lord with all of our heart. If I love me a little bit in that process, I'm going to make room for myself. And I'm going to find myself over there accepting some things that has moral impact on my soul and puts my soul in peril eventually. If not at the moment, it puts our souls in peril. It's the reason why the Lord Jesus told us to love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul and all of our mind and everything without reserve. Lord, I want you in the middle of my life. Oh, children, as you grow up, right now you're too young to really know the impact of this, but as you grow up, learn to put God in the middle of your life. Start young the best you know how. But as you grow up, your sister Charlotte is here. What was it, 8 years old when you came to the Lord? Most of you are already in that time frame. Give your heart to the Lord, children. Love the Lord with all your heart. And then if you look around and you see some older ones that's not loving the Lord with all their heart, would you go to prayer and ask the Lord to help them to love the Lord with all their heart? Because we're all supposed to do that. Are we not? It won't work very good if you don't. You're not going to be satisfied in your soul. You're not going to find the joy of salvation. You'll wear it as a cross, as a difficulty. Yes, you need to take up your cross and follow the Lord, but it's not. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. It's not meant to be something that is, oh, I must bear this cross. No, the cross is there to liberate the soul. That's what it's there for. It's not there to cause us to say, oh, I guess I'm a Christian, so I've got to do this. No, if that's what, God's got something much better for you than feeling like, oh, I've simply got to do it because the saints have always taught this. No, God wants you to be free in Him and loving to serve Him. It's a joy of your heart to do so. So in the middle of this, can we be speaking the truth in love? Of course we can. Of course we can. In fact, the truth itself is love. The expression of it by itself is a very loving expression. You know, if I told somebody that, maybe I met somebody that felt like they could jump off a cliff and flap their arms and fly, and if I said, yeah, I think you can. I don't want to disappoint you. So yeah, go over there. I believe you think it. You believe it so strongly. Just go ahead and flap your wings, flap your... That wouldn't be loving them very much, would it? Love would say, friend, you're going to fall if you do that. And we can do that in kindness, in firmness. Speaking the truth. Be honest with the people around us. Be honest with ourselves. And speaking the truth in love. Folks, the first person I must be honest with is the one I see in the mirror in the mornings. That's a person first that I must acknowledge. I've come to that place in my life that I don't like what I see in the mirror. I never really did anyway, but it seems to, I'm confronted more with the reality that years have changed me. Hopefully spiritually for the better. But though this outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. But the outward man does perish. But we have to be honest with what we have and what we see. Don't make excuses. Speak the truth to yourself in love. If there's places that we assess and say, this isn't the direction I want to go, when I honestly get with the Lord alone and begin to communicate with Him and commune, and I feel His presence, and in His presence I know that the direction that I'm going has question marks on it, and it's going to lead me in a way that's not safe, it's a good time to be honest with ourselves and say it's not right. That's the Lord in His loving mercy saying, son, whom the Lord loves, you see, what does He do? He corrects. Yes, He chastens. I know Sister Connie said the other day, the Lord spanks us. And sometimes when I think about spanking, I don't always have warm feelings about my memories of being spanked. But every time that the Lord has corrected me, though I knew I was thoroughly wrong, and sometimes I was very embarrassed by what I had done. But I knew at the end of it, the Lord really did love me. Sometimes my parents said, I'm only doing this because I love you, and it didn't seem to connect in my mind back then. But today, when the Lord corrects me, I know He loves me. And He does it in such a right way. Whom the Lord loves, He corrects, He chastens. And it's okay. It's really good. Because you do know the Lord is taking care of you. Yes, He does. Folks, I want us to think a little bit. I've read within the Bible. I've read James, where he said, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Now, I'm not asking for extra work. I want to tell you, it's in the Bible. If any is among you, let him call for the elders of the church. And it goes on and says, the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise them up. It's in the Bible. It's in it like that. The other day when I was on my knees praying, and I told the Lord, I've read that in your scripture. And Lord, I don't know exactly where all the parameters is of that, because I know that many people have been anointed and prayed for, and they didn't all live. And I only know of Elijah and Enoch. That seems to be those who have never tasted death, besides Jesus did taste death, though, for us. But I know the Scripture talks to us about when we are in some of these physical needs, the call for the elders of the church. And let them anoint them with oil and the prayer of faith. I've told the Lord, Lord, I don't know. When I put that dab of oil on a forehead, I said, Lord, I don't know. Is this even right? Is this what it was meant? What it meant in the Scripture? But Lord, I don't know. But in my ignorance, will you accept my willingness of heart to obey you? And I have seen the Lord do healings. I have. I can't deny it. Nor do I wish to. Can we speak even this truth in love? And encourage us to seek the Lord in these moments? I believe there is a peace that we can find in doing it. I believe the Lord has something for us that sometimes we can miss. I'm going to let the Lord put that boundary in your life, or wherever the Lord inspired. But I'm praying. I say, Lord, I've seen, I've read within your Bible. I've read it. And whether I understand it well or not, I'm not willing to say, except, Lord, I'm going to reach out for what I read. I'm going to lay my hands on it. And I want to obey you, Lord. I'm just telling the Lord in all my honesty of heart, Lord, I want all you have for us. I've seen enough healings in my life to know it's real. Experienced them personally. Observed them personally. Seen it happen. Well, the message this morning isn't going to be all on healings, but this is part of it, isn't it not? Isn't this part of what the Lord has for us? That we be no more as children tossed to and fro. Every wind, everything that would come against us. Wind of doctrine, by the sight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, that we may grow up into Him, speaking the truth in love, embracing the truth, speaking it, holding it dear, understanding it more fully, the farther I walk with Him, that in this growing up into Him in all things, and all things, this all things He's talking about, which is the head, even Christ. The purpose of all of our life, the Lord knows we have need of these other things that we busy ourselves sometimes through the week when you go to your job. He's not saying you can't do that. But the Lord wants to be in the middle of every part of our life. That in our growing, in our proceeding, in our pursuing of life, that we're always pursuing for that mark of the prize of the high calling of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. That place that I'm still pursuing, Lord, I understand, and what I've grasped, I'm walking in that light and I want to follow You. And Lord, as You teach me more, and as I'm tried and as I'm tested in some of the things that I have felt like I've understood and felt like the devil has come and contested it, and I've wrestled with those moments in my life when I've sought Your face and said, Lord, where are You today? And He comes and confirms, or comes and teaches in those moments. Then I begin to know Him a little better and a little stronger, and I have more strength when I come out of my closet of prayer and begin to walk in life. There's something special that the Lord wants to create. It's a communion, you see. It's more, you know, we hear the term communion. Sometimes we think that's what we do when we observe the Lord's Supper. And that is, yes, I'm willing to say that. But communion is so much deeper than those moments. Communion is something we experience in our daily walk with the Lord. The Lord wants us to commune with Him. Isn't that what the Lord did with Adam and Eve in the garden before they fell? Wasn't there a place that they enjoyed talking with the Lord? I don't know what it was like, but I like to think that they had busied themselves with taking care of the garden around them, doing things that was just tending things around them and enjoying things that were growing. And they likely, there was maybe a certain time of the day, maybe their ears were always kind of open for this little sound, maybe the blowing of the wind in the trees, and they said, oh, that's the Lord. And they went over there and they began to talk with the Lord. They communed with the Lord. And the Lord loved communing with them. Folks, did you know the Lord loves communing with you? He's not afar off. God wants us to feel after Him, though He's not far from any one of us. He's near to us. And the Lord wants to commune with us individually and establish us that we'd be no more as immature children that's easily rocked off of our foundation. That there's something, Lord, You gave me. This is one of the very special things that the Lord did when He saved me. It was such a real experience that I had at that moment that even though shortly within the next week, something so strong came, and it felt like it was about ready to rock me off my foundation. And I came and I went off in prayer to the Lord and said, Lord, I know you gave me something special. And I know, folks, that's what the Lord wants to give to each one of us. He wants to give us something that we know whom I have believed. I know on whom I have believed. And there's a persuasion in my soul. I know him. And I'm unwilling to turn it loose. I want to tell you, if you have that and you love the Lord with all your heart and you're unwilling to turn him loose, you won't have to turn him loose. You can have the victory. We can have the victory. That we be no more as children, but have something special to stand on. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, every part of our life. You know, sometimes the Lord changes the trajectory of our life, if we let him. We grow in him. There were things that I was comfortable with and doing 40 years ago that I'm not comfortable with today. Because we grow in Christ. We learn how to walk with him. We commune with him. And I want to commune with my Lord. That translates into time that we give him. Sometimes, I'm not going to tell you you've got to set aside a certain segment of every day that you're off by yourself. But sometimes my closet has been when I've been driving down the road. All alone. Me and the Lord. You can go in your closet right there. It sure shortens the miles. Maybe you have an hour and a half to drive and you get in that vehicle and you start heading down the road and start thinking about the things of the Lord. And pretty soon you find, well, I'm already there. Because you and the Lord have been having a good time. Is that possible? Yes, it is. I'll say yes. I know it to be so. Those are special times, folks. That's when we begin to learn what our Father is really like. He wants to show himself. And sometimes in our minds we can think fathers can be hard and hard, difficult. But when my Savior talks with me, I learn something very different than the harshness of the human fathers. And God help us to fashion ourselves the best we know how to after our godly Father. Men, is it okay? Let's try to be like our Heavenly Father. And if you haven't done it right in the past, if you've been hard, and there have been times I've had to come and say, Lord, I'm sorry. That I embraced back then wasn't right. And I would help me to know how to pick up the pieces. When I've done damage to some around me, help me to know how to go back and say, I'm sorry. Hopefully I can speak that truth to you in love. Is it okay? Yeah. I'm sorry. I want to be more like you, Lord. When I'm alone and talking with you, and I see how sweet and kind and how firm and how loving and how drawing and how strengthening you are and how encouraging you are to my soul. Even when I've done wrong, you don't push me down, but you build me up. Help me, Lord, to be more like you. Speaking the truth in love. I am tremendously challenged when I think and when I get alone with the Lord. And I begin to recognize how holy and how pure and how righteous, how sweet, how firm a foundation, how firm, how solid as a rock he is. Shelter for my soul, a place that the righteous can run into and be safe and be saved in his presence. When I look at that and I say, Lord, I know I can never be the fullness of that, but I want to be more like that. Let me see if I can find Colossians, the third chapter. This whole chapter is a good one. I've always loved it. It starts out with, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. I just have always loved this chapter. And I want to perhaps start over here in the fifth verse. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And he goes on to explain to what members he's talking about. Fornication and uncleanness. Inordinate affection. I'm going to leave you to identify those things. We know what some of them clearly are. Evil concupiscence. I'm not sure I know what all that really encompasses. Evil concupiscence. And covetousness. We know some covetousness. We know what some of that is, don't we? Are you immune from that? Sometimes I assess myself and think maybe I... Lord, help us not to give over to covetousness. It says, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. This is some of the things that people, the children of disobedience, they build within their lives. They build this fornication, uncleanness, and inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, and idolatry. God is not pleased with that. So if we're talking about Christian conduct and godly living, we want to shun these things, don't we? So we want to mortify. We want to put to death those elements in me that would cause me to be covetous. That would cause me to be an inordinate affection. In Sunday school this morning, I think we talked a little bit about inordinate affection. There are things out there, and I don't know what all that means. Well, I don't know what the writer was meaning at that moment. I don't really know. But I know what we've seen happen in our world around us today. We see people that don't have proper affection in various ways. Have you ever heard of a mother who really didn't love their child? We have a lot of that out there. It's strange to me. It's strange to me that men are willing to have children with different women and not care. That's strange to me. That's symptoms of something horrible went wrong. Something's bad wrong. Evil, that's true. It seems to me that I just have to judge by my own feelings. If I had a child and you try to take that child from me, I'd not want to be too carnal, but I want to tell you, you're going to have a job. Go, that's my child. That's mine. It's my responsibility, and I love my child. This is the one I'm investing. This is my child. You're not going to take that away from me very easily. To me, I think that type of familial value that you have for your children is natural. It's what God built within. And we have a world today that the devil has attacked us with so much selfishness that a child is almost a trial in your life. It's something to be avoided. Folks, I want to tell you the children are the blessings of the Lord. And they're precious. I'm too old to really want to take on another baby. Back a few years when our children were starting to get a little older, and my wife and I were so enjoying raising our children. Folks, I just enjoyed it. I loved raising my children. Was it a difficult moment? Of course there's difficult moments. Of course. But my wife and I got to talking and said, I wish we'd had more. Wish we'd had five or six. Folks, I'm not saying that's how you got I'm not giving you any kind of number for your life, okay? But I'm going to tell you what children are a blessing when you do it right. Is that okay for me to speak that truth also in love? That's a natural affection, folks. That's not inordinate. That is right. What's strange and wrong is when people are so selfish that they don't want anyone to take care of the children that the Lord gave them. That's inordinate affection. Yes, there's other definitions too. I think we see things, people are have some really strange affections for one another. That's just wrong, folks. We know it. I'm going to speak that truth in love also. It's not difficult for us to recognize when some of these things that have become popularized in our society, some of this same, trying to seek for the right word, attraction. Folks, that's wrong. It's just wrong. We can speak that truth in love. It is of the devil. Without doubt, it's of the devil. It's part of the symptom of evil that has pervaded our society. This is real evil that we confront in our real lives. Probably all of us have interacted with people that are caught in this. Folks, we don't hate them. In fact, we love them. We want them to be saved. And the Lord can save them from those situations. Just as surely as what the Lord can save a man or a woman that doesn't care for their children anymore, it's of the devil, it's wrong for them to do like that, but the Lord wants to save them also and give them a stable place of living, of godliness and righteousness. But the wrath of God comes down. The wrath of God is against those who do these things. So therefore, in our Christian conduct, the Lord would ask us to build into our life righteousness and peace and joy and love, the fruit of the Spirit pervading all of our character and who we are. That we would put to death that carnal selfishness and all of its fruit. You see, that the carnal selfishness has its fruit. Unto destruction is what it has. But we can build on the peaceable fruits of righteousness. We can build on Christ. We can build on what is good and true and right. And we know what that is, folks. I don't have to define all that to you. But seek after righteousness, and you'll be filled. There's a blessing in it. For which things, these idolatries, this inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, fornication, uncleanness, all those things that need to be mortified and done away with, which is idolatry. You know, it just kind of sums up and says, which is idolatry? I just now got to thinking, you know, idolatry, it can come up in the form of self-love. I just love me more than anything else. That's idolatry, isn't it? Isn't that a form of idolatry when I just live life for me and don't care about you? It'll cause all these other things that we've just been talking about. It's horrible. When I just love me, apply that in a marriage. If you're selfish in your marriage, you're not going to have a happy one. Not going to. You're not going to work. When you idolize yourself, when you're unwilling to give to others around you, you're going to have a miserable existence. For which things the wrath, things sake of the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked, that's where you used to be. But there's been a change now. In our Christian walk now, we've come to Christ. He's made us a new creature. You used to be like that, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these. Put off the anger, put off the wrath, put off the malice and the blasphemy, the filthiness, filthy communication out of your mouth. It seemed like those things that he said right there would be just about as obvious as the first ones that he mentioned, isn't it? Has anger ever produced the righteousness of God in your life? Have you ever given yourself to anger, to venting of your anger, and walked away there from there and said, "Oh, I feel so righteous now"? Generally, you walk away from there feeling pretty guilty. I wish I wouldn't have done that. I was so foolish. So put off also. Now you also put off all these things. All these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. Blasphemy, that's a pretty strong thing, isn't it? Help us not to give ourselves to that type of thing. Filthy communication. Filthy communication. Well, is that saying a curse word every five words? I'd definitely qualify, wouldn't it? But it's more than that. All manner of communication that is not righteous and holy. That doesn't mean that we can't just have normal communication among ourselves. But if we dip over into the devil's communication, it's going to cause we give our mind to something that we shouldn't be giving ourselves to. And it will exact something from us. Be careful. See, there's the battleground many times is right here in our mind. The devil would like to influence us a little bit over into the area that where we would start giving carnality rise in our very spirit. And Paul said, don't do that. Put that off also. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Uh-oh, here comes honesty back. Ninth verse. Lie not one to another. Now, as we, and God has called us, I believe, to be ambassadors for Christ. I believe all of us are called for that. If you're His child, He's called you to be His ambassador. He hasn't called everybody to stand up behind a pulpit and preach here, but He's called you to preach wherever you are. You're His ambassador. We are. And as I begin to think of that, I think of the message that we're carrying to our neighbors, to the people around us, to the one who also didn't bring your order out very quick when you ordered something to eat. And perhaps even the one who sliding down I-35 and your exit is on the right and everybody's getting in here and you knew it and there's construction's up there and you need to be over in this lane and you knew it a long ways back, so you got in your lane and you was going. You was already down there about 45 miles an hour, wishing you could go faster. And somebody slides up beside you and you had barely enough space for another car. And made you kind of hit your brakes. You see what I'm saying? Lord, help us to preach the right message. We're an ambassador. I'm not saying that you won't have some feelings like that person should have thought more about their life than to come up here and sneak in front of me like that and just make a dangerous situation. It's still all right to say that was dangerous. They shouldn't have done that. But it's not all right to preach a message of anger. It's not. If Christ preached that message to you, would you be saved today? If He was that exacting in your life, if he would have said, okay, you treated me bad and I'm just going to cut you off, will you be here? If it wouldn't have been for the mercy of the Lord, I wouldn't be here today. He preached the message of forgiveness, of hope, of real change. We hear a while back, we had a politician that was preaching hope and change. What the Lord gives us is real hope and real godly change. I'm not going to go any farther, I don't think. I don't really have time to go farther than what I have on my heart here. But suffice it to say, I want to go ahead, lie not, be honest, preach the truth in love, speaking the truth in love. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off that old man with his deeds and have put on a new man, the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. And I'm going to stop there. But I want to encourage us each one this morning. Let's be as much like Christ as we know how. And I really think all of us have room up for improvement. I do. Believe me, I know it. In our humanity, the Lord will always have us to have a hunger to be more like Him. We just should. It's okay. When I realized that something kind of rose in my feelings or my emotions that wasn't quite like the Lord, and it's okay when He comes by and kind of taps us on the shoulder and says, wasn't right. It's entirely proper for me to say, Lord, You're right. I shouldn't have felt like that. And let the Lord feed the good in our life. Let the Lord create the righteous thoughts. So I want to come back to the beginning. We're ambassadors of Christ. And I want to ask us again to speak the truth in love to our communities. Let's ask the Lord to help us in this congregation to know how to better and more effectively touch our world around us. Folks, I want people to come here and be saved. And that means we may have some people end up coming into the congregation. It's going to be crippled people. There's some people, once we get more, some of us, we don't have such great high level of perfection, folks. We have to have mercy on each other. And we get other people in here, we're going to have some more of that. Can we speak the truth also in love to them? Oh, we must. We must. And we can. I believe the Lord has something for the world around us. I want them to get enthused to come to service. I want them to get enthused in having Bible studies perhaps in our homes. I'm going to leave some of all that with you all. But I want to encourage us here today. Let's speak the truth in love. Pray for me. I want to serve Him.